Hey guys, welcome to Full Out. Today I am talking to Josh Sadowski. I'm so excited about this conversation. He grew up, he was raised on a prepper community, like a Jim Baker prepper community, which I've always been fascinated about. And he started a TikTok house out of that. Like he left that and started a TikTok house, which I find is fascinating. And now he's a full-time musician in LA and you can hear his stuff on Spotify, but he's been somebody I've been wanting to talk to for a very long time. He's very close with Molly, our producer. And I always ask her like, okay, what was it like for Josh growing up on that prepper community? I need to know what it was it like in the TikTok house. I need to know. And now we get to know. So here we go. Now introducing Full Out with Brittany Ross. You started, right?
Yeah.
You were good.
Oh, we started, okay.
You were really good because you grew up, you had to be really good, right?
Yeah, I had to be a good boy. I was very rebellious. Like, you know, every kid goes through their rebellious phase, but I don't know. I was like homeschooled, wasn't really like exposed to like even SpongeBob as a kid. Like I couldn't watch
SpongeBob.
You
weren't allowed to watch
it. No. So I used to watch like Lucille Ball.
That's amazing though.
Which is, yeah, I know it's weird. Like, anytime I like bring up references, sometimes I like I'll sing the Green Acres theme song.
Oh yeah, Green Acres is the place to be.
Yes, I did.
Lip sync to that in eighth grade.
Really?
I played the farmer husband.
Really?
Yeah, nobody knows what Green Acres is.
I like pulled it up the other day because you've watched Schitt's Creek, yeah?
Yeah.
It's basically the same concept if you think about it. Yeah, it's like a very wealthy family.
Oh, yeah, it is.
They kind of like move to like some random town in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it is. That's so funny.
So that's what I used to watch. So I was like allowed to watch that, listen to like classical music, and my mom would sing, you know, gospel songs at home. And,
oh yeah. You know, she would sing them or play them too.
She would sing them. Yeah. Wow. So she had her track in her little jukebox and she would sing throughout the house.
And she'd walk around with it.
She'd walk around and sing and
oh
I would sing
gosh.
With
Wait,
her.
Wait, what city were you? Where were you again?
This was in Frederick. So okay. Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to talk to you because I feel like I've asked, well, I know you from Molly, but I've asked Molly about your story so much that she's like, yeah. And like, I'm just like, keep telling me more stuff, Molly, because you grew up on a prepper, like Tammy Faye Baker and like Jim Baker, like that was your life, right?
Yeah. So when I would say around 13, because before that we were always in the church. So my dad was, and my mom was singing in the church in like different states. And then my dad did like hail damage restoration. And so he kind of just like,
what is that?
It's like basically there's a hailstorm and it like shoots through your roof. He like, you know, goes in and tells the adjuster to pay more money. And that was like a way for him to travel, go to church and to work. Cause you know, there would be storms in Texas and Ohio and all these different
states. I feel like hailstorms are like in all the church states.
All the church, you know, literally every single church.
It just like lines up perfectly. So
no, every church we went to had a new roof by the end of the year. So that was like basically what he did. And then he really got into like end times, prophecies.
Oh, like the end of times.
Yeah, like revelations, like Jesus is coming back, like tomorrow, and it was always tomorrow or next week, or you know, there'd be specific days that prophets would like say, okay, like June 13th, like everything's gonna hit the fan. And like,
so what would you guys do when it was gonna be June 13th?
Like June 13th, we would go to prayer groups, you know, and just pray that nothing happened. But then it got to the point where they were like, okay, like what do we do? So then Jim Baker, which you know, Jim Baker, so he like got out of prison.
Let's say who Jim Baker is for the people who don't know who Jim Baker is.
Jim Baker is a very interesting, amazing salesman. he can sell anything. It's crazy. He sells buckets of freeze-dried food. I will say his family is very sweet, you know, and there are good things he's doing in the community, but it's like he built this, I wouldn't even call it a ministry, but like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to capitalize off of end times preparation, mm-hmm. kind of like feeding this narrative of fear, right?
Yeah.
And like we know, like shit happens, and like it's important to like, I mean, I have, and I don't know if this is just because of like the way I was raised, but like I have my little Costco bucket of like 72 day supply if the like electricity goes
out.
That's
because of how you were raised. I've never heard of a Costco bucket.
Yeah, they have a Costco.
They sell them at Costco.
They're like $60, a lot cheaper than Jim Baker's. And
wait, but he sells one too?
No, he sells like 10-year supplies. like mac and cheese, like even vegan burgers. They have everything that you could think of. and they basically go on TV like QVC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they have like a guest prophet or somebody come in who has a word to share about the blood moons happening on this day and like how that syncs up with some scripture in Exodus and then how that syncs up with Revelation.
Whoa.
And then at the end of it, they're like, with a donation of $42,000, you can have a 20-year supply for your kids. And it's just like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So my parents,
I feel like I could totally fall into this world and be like the salesperson on QVC. No,
in a weird way. It's like, not like fun, but you know what I mean? It gives, in the mundane, it can give purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because it's always like something huge is about to happen.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Always. Always.
You're never like, oh, I have nothing on the books for a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
You're always like, we have the end of the world.
Yeah.
So, but what do people do when it's like, it didn't happen and it didn't happen?
Well, they just keep pushing back the date, you know?
So how do they explain it when it didn't happen?
That was always my question, was kind of like, okay, so it didn't happen. And then there's always something they find. Like if there's a random earthquake in like Fiji or in Japan, they're like, okay, that was the kind of sign.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of like using the...
It's to make sense of like all the unknown stuff.
Exactly.
I feel like it's a really nice security blanket for a lot of people to make sense of just anything.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
So
whoa,
it was a lot of that. And then... it got to the point where
did your mom get on board with it too?
She did. And I mean, I was like, at this point, I was like 13, 14. And my dad had always been somewhat of a like conspiracy theorist, or was like always very aware. And it like really turned my two older brothers off. And they were just kind of like, you know, they moved out of the house. And
oh, whoa.
I was the baby.
How old were you when they moved out?
I was 6 when they moved out. Yeah. My brothers are a lot older. My brother Roberto is 42.
Okay.
And Gilberto is 38 and I'm 25. So there's a huge gap there. Yeah. My mom had me at 40 and my dad was 50.
Whoa.
So they had me.
So wait, you're older. The one who's older than you is how many years older?
25 to 42 would be 15, 17 years older.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a huge age gap. And that was obviously like, they were like, what the fuck is Patrick doing? Like, what is going on? But it never like affected my life at the beginning, because it was always the primary thing at the beginning of my life was the ministry portion.
Okay.
And then when Jim Baker started doing his thing, we went to check it out. They had like these like bins. It was like going to an outlet and you're like searching through and like trying to get the deals. And it was like, it was kind of exhilarating. You know what I mean? It was like prime deal days for the end times doomsday preppers. And so we would like go to these things and I would, you know, I'd be like, and there's gas masks and there's like EMP resistant generators and EMP resistant cases for your phones.
What is that?
Like EMP, so it's like electromagnetic pulse.
Okay.
So like, there's
it's
like crazy. I still know this stuff, and like low key, when like stuff is going on like in the world, I start to like. Sometimes I text Molly. It'll be like 3 a.m. and I'll be sending her videos, and I'm like, I start to get paranoid because it's like,
yeah, it's like in your body.
No, 100%. So I'm like, fuck. I'm like, oh my god. And I'll text her, and I'll be like, oh, I just ordered like 1/4-inch plastic things because I had a dream that like, I don't even want to say it all, but like a nuke went off in LA. Like I get, it's like, it honestly kind of does affect me now. And like,
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So it is still kind of there, that fear.
Because you were like traumatized to think like all the time that the world was going to end.
Literally.
I get it. I grew up in South America for a second and I heard bombs go off and stuff.
Really?
And I have a little bit of like stuff where I always think like something terrible is going to happen or like I feel like if at a young age, if it gets into your like system, then you're like, this is what I have to be on the lookout for.
Which is also like, even saying that, it's like sad when you think about how at such a young age, this new generation is like having to really deal with that now. Like even with just everything that's going on in the world or even in the United States. Like, I mean, not even to like get into it, but it's just like crazy to like think that fear is there. Like I didn't do anything pride this year because I was actually just like scared of like something happening which like sucks because like I wanted to celebrate and like I've only been out in my pride for like a few years, so I was like, you know, I wanted to go out and do the WeHo thing for the day, but I was just literally too scared, which I shouldn't have been, you know.
But but it makes sense also, especially if you have like, you've always thought the world was gonna end. I mean, I remember when in like Y2K, I feel like I was in eighth grade maybe, and we all said goodbye to each other before the Christmas holidays. as if we were never going to see each other again. And we all like cried and said goodbye to each other at school.
So sad.
And then we went to like New Year's and nothing happened. And then we just,
everything was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would have bought back into it again. I don't know if I would have been like, that's going to happen again.
What about for the 2012? Do you remember that, the Mayan calendar? Did you like?
No.
No? I was kind of scared because also my family, like on my mom's side, so she's Mexican. Mm-hmm. And she moved to the U.S. like a year before she had me. She moved here like 7 years before she had me and then met my dad a year before she had me. But anyway, like they're from Mérida. Which in Mérida, it's the Mayan culture. So she's actually like indigenous half Mayan.
Okay.
So I have like, and I did like my DNA test, like my 23andMe, and it like directly linked me to like sacrificed individuals from who they buried up from the Mayan temples from Chichen Itza. So
what?
Like, yeah, which I was like, obviously I texted everybody. I was like, guys, like I was part of the Mayan sacrifice. So like back in the day, and I was like, I don't know. It just like fascinates me a little bit, but that whole thing with the Mayan calendar, everyone in my family was terrified. That was the one time where they were like, okay, what does Patrick say is going to happen? Like, ¿qué va a pasar? You know, and like,
and when happened, you guys, but, like the fear, people sit around and pray, or do they cry, or do they freak out, or are they just like ready for it? It's like Jesus is coming to get us, or what is it?
I think so. There's like two angles to this whole world of like end times, right? So there's the like doomsday preppers, which is, there's kind of more of a like, what's the right word to use? But like bunker, like, is this an offense? Is hillbilly an offensive word?
You tell us. You're offended by hillbillies?
Super offended. I'm a hillbilly prepper. Get it right.
So if we turn off all the hillbilly preppers from this podcast, I think... I think maybe we'll be finding the right audience then.
Yes, exactly. I like said doomsday prepper and my dad took that super negatively. Like when I was on, because I like auditioned for AGT, America's Got Talent. And like I said doomsday prepper.
That's the one thing I do know what you're talking about. Those are the one initials when I'm like, I didn't need the explanation. I'm like, nothing else you're saying. I've never heard those words.
So but AGT.
Yeah, I do know
okay,
that.
Okay. So I mentioned doomsday preppers and my dad was like, no. Doomsday prepper has this connotation of like the hillbillies. We're not doomsday preppers. We're end of time preppers.
Because we're from Maryland.
Because we're from Maryland. Because we're the chosen ones.
We wear boat shoes and sweaters around our shoulders.
And so that whole world is like in that Jim Baker world where it's like, okay, when something's coming, we're going to pray. And like fasting is a huge part of it. It's a very like, I don't know. I feel like there's like the... there's a traditional side to praying, mm-hmm. and then there's a very, like, more on the Pentecostal side mm-hmm. in denomination, you know, where they speak in tongues and prophesy. And so that was kind of the denomination that I was raised in primarily.
The tongues and prophesy. Whoa.
Yeah, so Pentecost. And then we also ended up going to a Baptist church, which is the complete opposite of that. But there was a lot of still, like, prayer. And I don't know. We were always in different denominations growing up. Like we were never like stuck to one thing.
Okay.
So.
But you were always praying.
Always praying.
Always, always praying. Always be praying.
What's the never cease in prayer or something? There's like a specific scripture of like to always pray. And so that was like always the ongoing thing. And then when Jim Baker did his thing, we checked it out, got some gas masks, some water purifying.
Where was his thing at?
In near Branson.
Okay.
And he has... it's like a show. So it's a beautiful, by the way, beautiful building. Mm-hmm. And there's like all these apartments and they look in on the main stage and it's like each different apartment has like a different color and like different fascia on the windows. And there's a giant Jesus in the middle, like a marble Jesus that's like 20 feet tall.
Whoa.
And he basically shoots the show there pretty much every day. And it's that thing I was talking about where he interviews people and then he sells the food. And so we went there for 4th of July in like 2013 or 14.
Okay.
Had the super sale. We like jumped on the super sale. And then there's such a community there. You know, there's people mm-hmm. that live there. It's like 400 people that like live on the property that, and some of them don't believe in that. They just happen to live there.
That would be so weird to just happen to live
weird.
There.
So weird.
It's like nobody told you that as you were like signing
it's like, what
lease?
Are these people doing? They're building generators and like have gas masks.
I guess you
around.
Would never lose power if you lived there, which would be nice.
Which is nice. I don't know. It's just crazy. They even have like armed veterans. It's a lot of like older families too. Mm-hmm. But we ended up moving there. Which was
how old were you?
I was, I think, 14. 14 or 15 at this point.
And at this point, were you still like, yes, we need all this stuff? Were you in it?
Yeah. We were just always on the road, like growing up, like always on the road. And at this point, I think we were like going back and forth between Indiana and Maryland.
Is this because like something's going to happen in these places? Or is it because your dad's job?
Dad's job. And then also my grandparents lived in Virginia.
Okay.
So we would like go take care of them.
Okay.
And then my dad would go back to Indiana for work. And then it was just kind of like this ongoing thing for mm-hmm. a few years. But then we moved to the proper community because there happened to be a hailstorm that my mom prayed for. She was like, Lord, please bless Whoa. Us with a hailstorm. Don't kill anyone, but bless us with a hailstorm.
Bless us with a hailstorm so that your dad can get some work?
Get some work.
And
my dad was...
Oh, my God.
It was a prayer answered when it happened to be in the town that he wanted to move to at the Doomsday Proper Community.
Yeah, that's a big deal for your dad, big I deal. Feel like.
Yeah. And so, we moved there and it was like.
So you like know Jim Baker?
Yeah, I met him several times, him and his family. I actually posted a video. My mom was not happy. I posted a video kind of telling my story of like living on like mm-hmm. end times community. Mm-hmm. And Jim Baker's son, Ricky Baker, responded. And he sent me a long paragraph of like, he actually wasn't in jail for 20 years. It was 7 years. And I was like, it's just the same shit. I don't know. Like, he screwed over a lot of people with money. Watch the eyes of Tammy Faye and you'll see like what
it's
happened.
It's like couples telling stories where they're like, it was 12 years. It was 13 years. Like, I'm what like, are you joking about?
Sorry. Let me repost it and say he was in jail for 7 instead of 20. Like, it's going to make a lot of difference.
I don't think anybody cares.
No one cares. Yeah. And so... obviously, I like felt bad because Ricky is really sweet. And like his family, like they adopted a bunch of kids and they have like a shelter house there. Like, and they have like a film school program where basically everyone at the program works for free for them and they don't actually get a degree.
It's so sweet.
So sweet.
So sweet.
Oh my God. Oh my God. The amount of blessings that they.
I still feel like you're like, he's so sweet. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so salty though. Like, yeah. I actually can't stand what he does. Because it's just. It's the same thing he did before. It's like he's selling stuff. He's selling this idea. Yeah. He's selling this community. He has his showmanship. Mm-hmm. And then people buy into it and he makes a lot of money. And he's, you know, killing it. He's doing great. Like, good for him. Like,
I did a commercial in North Carolina, I think, at what used to be their studios.
Really?
Yeah. Was it, maybe it was South Carolina? I don't know. It's wherever NASCAR is at. Because we went there to shoot this commercial and it was in this huge, like, weird place that used to be where they had their show from. And they had all these, like, weird rooms with just, like, tons of fake flowers. Everything was just, like, weird whenever
you
walked around.
Was there, like, a call room?
What's a call room?
Like, where they have people call in. Was there, like, a room with, like, a bunch
Probably.
Of,
Probably.
Like, okay.
But I just remember walking around. It was just on a lot of land. And it was, like, this very, like, weird. And I remember there were, like, bleachers still from kind of, like, seating from when the show. Yeah, it was weird.
I had an experience with one of those places it was in India. Do you know TBN?
No.
So TBN was, like, television broadcasting network for, like, Christian TV, because mm-hmm. you know Jim Baker was like the leader in televangelism.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And so those places, I went and recorded. I had like a giant. I have a picture of it. A giant "I love Jesus." I love Jesus like thing behind me, and I was singing like the Tumbleweed Christian song. And I would go every year. And it felt so weird. It was empty. There were like, you know, these like mm-hmm. the stages and like the flowers everywhere and like the patterns and everything. And I would sing "You Raise Me Up" as well for Father's Day.
Okay.
But it was crazy. They had the most decked out studios, but it was empty because like all that shit happened where like a lot of stuff got exposed and a lot of the programs got shut down. But it's kind of eerie. I don't know. But,
yeah, it is creepy.
Yeah.
I feel like my daughter, I took her to 15 minutes of Sunday school in Arkansas on Easter because we were visiting my cousins and my husband's Jewish. So we're like trying to figure out what to do about raising her. I'm just like kind of spiritual, like, you know, everyone in LA. But I was like, what are we going to do for her? And I was like, it's fine if she goes to 15 minutes of Sunday school.
Yeah.
And she came out and she was like, I love Jesus. I need a Bible. It just like, I feel like that there's something that they have it down so intensely. And it's been since April and we're in, like, it's been a while and she's still talking about how she loves Jesus. And we had our Jewish friends over because we're like, we need to get some cool Jews around here so we can like balance this out. And we had them over for Shabbat right after. And my friend's son was talking to her about Marvel movies and he was like, you must know Thor. You know Thor, right? He's a god. And she's like, no, but I know Jesus. And I'm like, oh my God, like we can never take her to this place. And then we were just in Switzerland and with my husband's family and I had to sit down next to her and be like, we're going to do Shabbat. Please do not talk about Jesus right now. Okay, Penelope, just like don't talk about Jesus. And she's like, why? Because they don't believe in Jesus like dad, like dad's like, because dad's gibberish, right? And I was like, yes. Yeah, I was like, crazy. Your dad is gibberish. But she's like, it's crazy how quick they can like get in there. And then she's telling all our friends that they're, when they come visit her in L.A., Benson Boone lives in L.A. and so does Jesus. And I was just like, Penelope. Like, so part of me is like, I think Penelope wants the childhood that you had and she's not getting it. Like, I feel like she would die to live in your life for a day as a child.
I'm curious. So like, what do you guys plan to do? Like, because you mentioned you guys have been like thinking about like, I mean, you tried the 15 minutes and clearly that made an impact on her. No, it
was just because we were like visiting my cousins and I was like, it's fun, whatever, she can go. And then she came out and she's like holding a Bible and she's like, I love Jesus. Everything in this book is true. They told me people who wrote it were there. They saw it happen. And like, I think
from
that
one class.
Yeah, it's quick. Crazy. It's really quick how it happens. Yeah, it you does. Know. And then we freaked out, and my husband's like, well, luckily she's coming back to L.A. where God doesn't exist, so she's going to be totally fine. Like, she's going to be okay. Like, I think because I was like, oh, my God, I've lost her to a cult. Like, I really felt like one of those moms who's going to be, like, trying to get my kid out of a cult the rest of my life.
Oh, my you know? God.
And I don't know. She talks about Jesus all the time. I think she can tell that my husband and I are a little bit like, we don't know what we're doing about this right now. So she's, like, poking at it a little bit. But still, it's like, it's quick. It happens really quick. It's really easy, like, for it to just, you know, take over.
I mean, you think, like, mind of a child. I mean, like, when I was a kid, it's like, I remember going to Sunday school, and that was my favorite part. Like, until
I
had this.
Because you got to, like, see other people because you were homeschooled. Yeah,
exactly.
So, it's like the only time you got to see
people. I got to, like, make friends for the first time in my life. And I don't know. Like, I feel like they. You know, it's like fun. They have like games and there's like all these different things.
They make
things.
It so fun. You get donuts.
Oh yeah, donuts, everything. Like,
yeah, I know. It's like, it is really fun. It's like Judaism is not as fun, you know, but I feel like, I don't know. It's just interesting to see how fast it happens. Cause I was like, I really felt like it would be fine, but there's a way to like suck you in really quick.
And the crazy part with that too is like, so they suck you in at that point, right? And then the moment you turn like 8, or it depends on the church, right? But like sometimes they'll do family nights in the main congregation. And so, you know, your kids go to the Bible class and then they come out and join everyone else, all the adults, right? And oh my God, I hate it. Especially like in the church we went to, like it wasn't like a timed thing. Like go, you know, you go to a Catholic church or like anything, it's like, you know, 30 minutes to an hour and you're like, good. We would be there for like 2, 3, 4 hours. And I'm just like, bro, I just want to go to Dairy Queen across the street. I was so fucking tired all the time. But it was crazy. And I think that's why I struggled so much with my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Even until I like turned like 21, like I didn't come out to my parents until I was like 22. And so being like believing that at such a young age and then being put in the main congregation where you're being told, you know, all these things are like wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, you believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to believe?
Exactly.
It's the only thing you're hearing.
Yeah. So that was like a huge thing.
So when did you leave though?
When I was, so like, I don't know. I always like loved the idea of being an actor. I think I just loved the idea of not being where I was. Right. Mm-hmm. And so LA and Hollywood had this like extroverted glamour to it. So just that fascinated me. And then social media had like just become a thing, like Musical.ly.
Were you allowed to have it?
I was. Like my parents like didn't like know. I got my first phone when I was like 14.
Okay.
And then my friend, my childhood friend, who was also homeschooled. So we were like homeschool buddies. She was like, oh, there's this app like Musical.ly where you like lip sync to things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like lip sync and make faces and just like do that. And then they started like doing well. And then I started doing original comedy
what
skits.
What kind of faces were you
like
making?
Just like eccentric, like expressive.
Like expressive. I see why it did things. Well.
Yeah. Shocking.
I like it.
Yeah, it was crazy. And so I was just like, you know, let my weird and my cringe out. And mm-hmm. my parents, like, every once in a while, they would, like, see the videos or they, like, catch me filming. And I would, like, I don't know. I feel like I got caught, like, watching porn if I got caught, like, making a video because it was so awkward.
The face that you were
yeah,
making?
Just because I would wear wigs and stuff, you know, because I was, like, because also that was another thing, too. Getting to escape into a character, like mm-hmm. putting on these, like I would, you know, Halloween, I would get these like wigs and then play these characters. And I started doing original videos and I would do these voices. So like, I would have like Honey Boo Boo or like Janessa. She was like, oh my God, like what's going on? I don't understand. And then I had Mama Penny.
Sounds like me.
So that was
I feel
Janessa.
Like that's me. Okay.
Yeah, you guys would have been best friends.
Yeah, I love
oh my
Janessa.
God. Janessa was a queen. Janessa's a queen. And I still bring her out every once in a while for a video, like if I like need to like promote a song. But then like that turned into Mama Penny, which is what really hit.
And that's when you were still living with your parents?
Still living with my parents.
No way. I thought that was when you were already in LA.
No, that happened. I was filming all those videos in our log cabin in Branson.
In
the little log cabin at Jim Baker's like community.
You became TikTok famous?
Yeah, I did.
A log cabin?
In a log cabin. A cute little log cabin in the middle of nowhere. Barely with any Wi-Fi either. Like, I used to have to, like, drive 30 minutes to go to the Starbucks to be able to upload my videos.
Oh, my
gosh. Because we didn't
have
good signal. Yeah, it was like...
Isn't this supposed to... So, I guess end times you don't need Wi-Fi. Nobody's prepping for that.
Nobody's prepping for Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So we basically, like... My mom would help me film my videos too. Like she thought they were
That's
funny.
Cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really cute. She like, cause they started doing really well. And I started like the first year I didn't make any money. Obviously it's like, mm-hmm. you know, also back then, like brands weren't working with creators mm-hmm. as often, unless you were like in LA and like in the industry, but I would just put a towel on my head and Mama Penny was kind of an extension of my parents' behavior. Cause I feel like they were always like, I don't know, like, not penny pinchers, like they spent the little money that they had, but they were always finding ways to budget. Like mm-hmm. couponing was a huge, like my dad was like, do you have a coupon? And like my mom would like, we would be driving through the Midwest and we'd stop at like those rest stops to get the little coupon booklets to get like
a
cheaper hotel. And so I was like, let me do like a character that is like that. And that was Mama Penny. And she'd be like, Josh, like, what are you doing? Like, I want to get out of here. I want to go couponing. Like, what are we doing? I don't have fucking money to spend on that. What are you talking about? You know, just like snap into it. And like, Mama Penny would go into the wild. I used to like go into stores as Mama Penny and go extreme couponing.
Oh my gosh, with a towel on your head?
A towel on my head. Oh, I had no shame. I could never do that now. But like, even like when I first came to LA, I took Mama Penny down Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh my gosh.
And that, I just threw a towel on my head. I was walking. I was like, I was, you know, just basically playing off all the, you know, touristy things, which it's like when you live in LA, it's like it's the most horrid place you could go to is Hollywood.
Right. Yeah.
But like, you know, and also for me, I was like excited. I was like, oh, look at all the stars. And like, there's the Hollywood
like
sign.
Piss all over them. Yeah. You know, yeah, you didn't realize that yet. And, that's so funny.
And yeah, so like Mama Penny like did really well to the point where, and then COVID happened. And
you were here already.
I had come to LA for the first time in 2019. I got sent out by Facebook, like brought out here.
What?
Yeah, they flew me out. They're like, we want you to bring Josh, Mama Penny. Like, just we want to.
And how does your like family feel about this?
My parents were very supportive.
Okay.
So they actually came with me. At first I was like, oh, I don't want them to come with me, whatever. But they like, the Facebook like covered all the costs. So we like flew to Nevada and rented a car and like drove down and did the whole thing.
If you're traveling and you're in a prepper community, do you have to bring a lot of bags with you every time you go somewhere?
Thankfully, my parents weren't like Like, it's weird because they were so extreme in that, but at the same time, they enjoyed, like, we would go to Montana, we would do road trips okay. through the U.S. So, like, at least it wasn't, like, a constant fear.
Okay.
It was more of, like, we needed to have a home base. And then, again, there would be these, like, deadlines. So, like, okay. if we had till June, like, we're good in May. You know okay. what I mean? Like, let's go to Mexico, visit the family in May, and then, like, lock in June. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So...
what's our upcoming deadline right now?
Oh, girl, I have no clue. I don't even want to know. Like, my dad will, like, send me, like...
it's probably the day we release this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my dad's very, like, he'll send me stuff, and I, you know, I try to, like, listen or whatever. But to be honest, like, they've really chilled out.
Oh, that's good.
Which is nice. Like, they, like, especially with, like, my dad's health. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Oh, my gosh.
A couple years ago. And it, like, I don't know. He's just... I think he's, like, realized how important it is to also just be present and be with mm-hmm. family. And he's also seems less panicky and just more That's happy, good. You know. And so they're trying to find – they, like, go to dinner in Branson and just have a good time. They, like, came to visit me and stayed with me.
Oh, that's
nice. And then I, like, wrote a song for him based on that. And he, like, came out for the music video.
Oh,
and, like,
cool.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
So they're doing a lot better, but, like, they are proud of me, and they're, like, very, very supportive, like, with the videos too, which is funny. You would think they would be like, oh, our son's gay. Like, that never, like, clicked for them when I would, like, play all these female characters. Cause I think that was a way to get my eccentric.
Yeah.
Feminine
they never,
side out.
Like, they, like, when you came out to them, were they shocked?
Yeah. My mom what? Was, yeah. Which was, like, crazy. Cause I thought, apparently my dad had, like, had a dream and, like, God had revealed it to him at some point. And, like, my mom, like, had an inkling, but she wasn't sure. Because it was always, sorry, excuse me. It was always, like, those things where, like, I would visit the family and be like, oh, like, ¿dónde está tu novia? Like, where's your girlfriend? I'd be like, I'm busy. Like, I'm working.
I'm
like,
making videos.
I'm making videos as a female. And, like, playing these crazy characters. Like, I'm gay. Like, I just couldn't say it. But they, you know, and my family in Mexico, like, did not think, like, they were like, are you going to school? Like, I wasn't close to my dad's side of the family because mm-hmm. there was a lot of, like, holy fuck. Like, when we talk about, like, the drama, like, it's not, like, succession type drama yeah. between the siblings. Like, the Sadowskis are very hot-headed and, okay. like, oh, my God. Like, my aunt's name is Karen. My uncle's name is Mike. Like, you have Karen and Mike and David and Patrick, like, going neck to neck about the craziest shit. So I wasn't super close to them around this time.
Okay.
So they didn't even, like, know. But my family in Mexico was like, when are you going to school? Like, this can't, like, be, like, it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. And then, you know, got flown out to LA and then went back because of COVID to Missouri. And mm-hmm. so that was also, like, really, I don't know, like, really, like, frustrating for me because I felt like I was going to finally get to, like, leave the house.
Yeah.
Because at this point I was, like, doing social media full time. And mm-hmm. like, I even did like talent management and, like, started a creator house and, like, was planning all of this stuff.
You started
stuff.
A creator house? Like, you lived with other people?
I did live with other people. Yeah. It was a whole, that was like towards the end of COVID. So we, like, okay. quarantined in Arizona because what happened is I went back home, was posting these Mama Penny videos during quarantine. And that's when things took off. Like, it's, like, crazy to look back on it, because back then I didn't really think anything of it, but, like, each video was getting, like, 2 million likes, 20 million views, 3 million likes, like, every week. YouTube, like, it was, like, and I was at this point, like, making a really good amount of money where I was, like,
mm-hmm.
wow.
Does Jim Baker know about this?
Yeah, I'm sure he does, okay, because his, like, son, as I was saying, like, followed me, and so, like, they would, like, catch me, like, filming videos at the property sometime.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes, but.
And what, like, you just see them, like, watching you make videos?
Here's the thing with Jim Baker. He was, like, never, like, his son and everybody, like, they knew that I was doing the social media stuff. He was, like, he would tap in, sell product, tap out, go home, drive his Ferrari back to his place and just, like, call it a day. Like, he didn't even, like, care what was going on there.
Okay.
Like, there was, like, I don't even, like, want to, like, bash on it too much, but, like, the community, there's so much love and support. Like, even when we moved there, we didn't like have a place, and like someone just literally gave us our home or gave us their home to stay in for like 6 months. So a lot of like support and stuff. But like when it comes to the people who manage it, like they could give a shit. Like if something gets, there was like a couple of the houses that are like built into the canyon. They're like the Hobbit houses. They literally look like from Lord of the Rings. Like they're like these domes with like these crazy ventilation systems, and they are like super cool looking. You can like heat them up with a hairdryer in the winter. Like it's
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like it's crazy. Like, and they're, oh my God, they're so expensive. Like, I mean,
I'm going to have to look these up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'll like send you stuff, 'cause it's like actually so fascinating. Okay. Like someone needs to do like a documentary or just something on it, which someone during the elections in 20, what year was it? It was 2016. There was like all the, well, I lost my train of thought there, but basically like during that time, like there was, oh, New York Times came undercover pretending to be someone who was looking to live there.
Cool.
And they did an article and like showcased all the shit that was going down. And my mom's actually in the background of the phone, was like singing to the people
there.
And she was like, I'm going to sue. Like, how dare they? Like, I'm not, I do not associate with Jim Baker. Like, she's like, Cause she's like, you know, she's also very indifferent too.
Yeah.
Like my mom, I feel like was the grounding between my dad.
So you had somebody who wasn't, it wasn't like both full blown
in it.
So you could see another way.
Exactly. Too. Yeah. My mom was very like, and she still is very like, she supports my dad. She takes care of him, but she was always a bit indifferent, you know, and she like believes it, but you know, she wants to be with her family in Mexico, and she does want to travel, and she wants to be with her kids and her grandkids and stuff, you know? So,
So then you went back during COVID, and then you came back after.
I came back after, yeah. I went to Arizona and then started a creator house, like towards
in Arizona,
Scottsdale. Yeah, we like rented this huge house. It was super cheap because it was, you know, during like lockdown. We all took like our, what were the tests we used to take back in PCR or whatever?
PCR tests.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
there's been so many like acronym abbreviations on this episode. Okay. So PCR tests.
PCR tests. And then we like locked in, did not leave the house. And it was like so much fun. And we just like made content every day. And the content house, I invested like all, like not all, but a lot of my saved money into trying to like make this thing happen. It was not a smart business move. I was 20 years old. Like, it was worth the experience. I also just feel like, because my ADHD, like I just, at this point, I didn't even want to be a creator anymore. Like I got interested into like the business side of it, which, stupid me, I should have just kept making videos, having fun and made money. But I was like, no, like I want to like be a manager and like have like a creator house and do all this shit.
Well, I feel like you grew up in a way where you had to like control everything. Everything needed to be controlled.
Yeah.
So maybe it was easier for your mind to be like, okay,
yeah,
let me be in charge of all of this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That's probably that.
So it's so funny to go from being homeschooled to living in a creator house too, I feel like, because it's like all or very all or nothing.
Yeah, it is. Which is crazy because I like look at myself now and I'm like, I've taken risks, you could say, in the past few years, but I'm like, holy shit, when I was 19, 20, I took risks. Like even like after Facebook flew me out, at that time I wasn't like really like making money. I like moved to LA for a month and a half with like $300 in my bank account, paid the 1 month for the Airbnb, crashed on someone's couch, was not stressed.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'll figure it out.
That's why I think everyone should have kids when they're 19 or 20 years old, because you're not stressed out at all. That's my memo.
Exactly.
If anybody takes away anything from this podcast, it's teen parenting,
kids at 20.
Because you don't care about anything. You're less stressed. You don't have, they don't get in the way of your career.
Not at all. Now I can't even imagine. I can barely take care of my two cats at home. I'm like,
yeah, you should have just done it when you were couch surfing.
Yeah. That
I feel like
I found a surrogate and just, you know, had a kid at 20.
Yeah, that would have been a good risk.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, so then you, when did you come out to your parents when you went back to for that year?
No.
During COVID?
It was after I had, like, been, so, like, after I moved out here, or I guess kind of like getting the timeline. It's like, okay, 2020 and then 2021 mm-hmm. is when I signed a lease, lived with my best friend at the time, and was doing the content creator thing. I was also trying to figure out how to stop the management thing. Cause I was like, at that point, I was like, what I really wanted to do since I was extremely young was to make music, mm-hmm. but I had no way to, I didn't know what the process was, right? Okay. It was like, okay, do I have sessions? Like, do I like learn an instrument? Mm-hmm. And I was also juggling everything else as like being independent, paying my bills, being new to LA, partying, experiencing, you know,
also, I feel all the like, crazy did shit. You- Do you, like friends of yours who know you, especially when you first moved out here, were they like, you do some weird stuff because of how you,
yeah. I mean, I was always the like, raised. I was always the like, you know, like, I guess the outcast, like I felt like I would be the outcast, but weirdly enough with my friends, I wasn't, because I feel like I found friends here who also came, maybe not from like similar backgrounds, but like moved from the Midwest or moved from Mexico, yeah. you know, or like
but did not content. Like weird stuff, more just like, oh, like were there, you're like, I don't, things that you didn't know how certain things worked or something just because you were living in such a different way.
Yeah. Like especially like pop culture stuff and things okay. like that. Like people would like mention shows to me or like artists mm-hmm. or music. And I was like, I have like, no, like someone would like make a New Girl reference. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I definitely felt like that was weird, but I had a really good, and still friends with like the friend group, but like I had really good friends and had a lot of fun. And then I moved in with Molly.
Yeah.
In 2022.
Okay.
And at this point I would say parents still supporting me, but at this point I was like the most lost in my career mm-hmm. because I actually was so tired of, it wasn't that I didn't like making my funny videos, because like, you know, it's like fun, it's like you have an idea and like you just do it mm-hmm. it was more of like, what's the end goal?
Yeah,
because I'm like, I don't think I'm like funny enough to do stand-up, and I also don't think like I want to do a podcast. Like it just was, I was like, it's not coming from here.
Were you ever like, oh, I want to do like SNL characters or things like that, or no?
I thought about that. And like, I talked to friends about like Molly. And so I ended up, I should have probably tried like Groundlings, but I did Anthony Mandel's acting studio. And then that made me realize I didn't want to like act in like mm-hmm. serious ways. But at this point though, I was like learning the piano. I was trying to write at home. I was like having mm-hmm. like sessions with this one producer who like reached out to me for an artist I managed back in the day.
Okay.
And then he saw on my profile that it said singer. And so he was like, oh, like sing for me, which mm-hmm. is like, I was like, okay, like what the fuck do I sing? I was like, I think I sang Best Part by her and Daniel Caesar. And he was like, oh, he was like, let's have a session. And so around 2022, at this point, I was having sessions with him mm-hmm. consistently, kind of learning the process. And then really fell in love with it. And but at the same time, I was like really letting go of my social media stuff. Okay. And so I basically became like irrelevant because I was gone.
So crazy to yeah. like be your generation where you can like have a social media life and then let go of your social media life.
That's It's like, it is weird because like sometimes I look back and I'm like, maybe I should have like kept going, and like I still kind of am now that I've like put out my first single, but I don't know, it's just at the time, like I used to get recognized like every day if I went out, which is like crazy thing for like a mm-hmm. TikToker, but like in 2020, like
yeah, it was people be like a huge deal.
Yeah, I was like Mama Penny, like I would have people stop me, and I had like fan pages, and like, and I just wasn't happy, you know, mm-hmm. like I was portraying that I was, but I was just like, oh my god, like I'm like not like yeah. satisfied.
Yeah, but with music you are.
I am. And so then 2022 was me like being like, okay, I'm gonna go, I found a job, worked at a music school, and then around that time is when I came out to my parents.
Okay.
Because at this point I knew who I was, I had finally accepted myself, because it was also a battle at like 21, which is like crazy to think, it was like only 4 years ago, but 21, I was still wondering if I needed to like take myself to like a conversion therapy camp or like,
because it's like so in you still.
So like mm-hmm. the internalized homophobia like was, and you know, there's still hints of it, but it's like thankfully with having friends like Molly and Luan and different people in my life, like I learned to just accept myself. So that was the thing, is I didn't want to come out if I couldn't also accept who I was, you know? So then I came out when they came to visit for the first time. Oh my God. I was like, so like stressed. I technically came out to my mom through text like a month before they came out, because I had just watched the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. And have you watched the movie? Oh my God.
I don't think so.
Oh my God.
It's not ringing any bells in my mind. But I also have really bad movie memory, but I'm going to say no.
Oh my God.
Because nothing's popping into my mind.
Okay, Brittany, you have to watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it. But maybe I've already seen it. I don't know.
Okay, it's really good. You should watch it. That movie, I watched it. And then the next day I texted my mom and came out.
Okay.
And then they came to visit. I came out to them. There was still kind of like this battle of like, they love me, and it was unconditional, and it was a very emotional moment. But my dad was still kind of like in this mindset of, you know, still going to pray for you, you know? So then it was it was almost even harder, because it was like, okay, it's not technically unconditional if you think that I'm going to go to hell for this, you know? Yeah. And so, but with then me going to music school, and then I wrote a song about it, and like had the most vulnerable conversation with my dad, because a song allowed me to express everything. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to write a song that's this vulnerable, I have to have this conversation with my dad. And that, since then, like our relationship has healed. Like he knows not to bring it up. Like he doesn't, like for the first time since I was a kid, because I was very close to my dad, for the first time since I was a kid, when they came to visit last year and then beginning of this year and stuff, like I felt like I could connect with him, you know, like I showed him Golden Bachelor, and we were like watching the Golden Bachelor with my mom. And I was like, it just felt good to not have this like anxiety around my own parents, you know?
Yeah. It almost feels like you needed these TikTok characters, like to, once you felt like okay with yourself, you didn't want to do them anymore.
Honestly, I guess I didn't even think about it. I was like, once I could like embrace myself, I was like, oh, like I don't need this outlet as much as I used to. And so now the outlet is the music, which I'm like,
that's great.
Really like happy
and
about.
And so you're like transitioning. Do you still have your same like social medias, and you're just transitioning all of your stuff? Or
Yeah. Is the engagement 2 million likes? Definitely not. So it's like, I'm like, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I guess technically it's almost starting from ground zero, because this isn't the reason people followed me.
Yeah.
Also, I like became irrelevant because I chose to stop posting for like 2 years. So I've been slowly like working on transitioning that, like posting more covers and like, you know, releasing the song, posting the videos for the song, and still finding ways to, because now I feel like I can do the comedy thing again with promoting my songs, because I'm like, oh, there's a goal here.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, so like a video I filmed the other day was like, if planets were people, and it was like a town hall meeting, and it was like Earth. Earth was just like, where do my people go? Like shit's hitting the fan, like all this stuff. And Mercury was like, well, you can't host them here. Like you can't, there's no life. And Mars was like, don't even think about it. And it was like, and then Saturn's like, you're so cute. Like, I'm so sorry you're going through this. And then at the end, it was like Mercury started going into retrograde. And then Earth, and then everybody, and Pluto was like, well, you guys can come here. And then Saturn was like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, you're not even a fucking planet anymore. And then Mercury is going to retrograde. And then it cuts to like Earth pressing play and giving Mercury like a glimpse of Earth, and then calming Mercury down. And then it's like this montage, and it's my song promo. And it's like the song Be Still, which is what the song's called.
So that's a great, now you're using it. That's cool.
Which is
so
like
you can
fun.
Show like all of your stuff. You can be all of these things.
Exactly. So that feels good. I'm like, and like, it's been a week since the song came out. So I'm literally, my mind is just like figuring out how I can like connect with people through comedy or through stories and do that. But yeah, it's like crazy, because it is technically like the start right now, but like the EP's basically done, and like I guess time just goes by fast. Like I've been working on these songs for the past 3 years, and now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I have songs I want to release. You know, you like make shit, you know, like, it's like, that's like really bad. I'm like, I'm not gonna put that out. Like another year goes by, I still don't want to put it out. So it's just like,
it's, you know, cool. And you still have so much time. I mean, you're
so much. And it's like, I'm working on the next project already too, which feels really good. So I'm like,
Cool.
Yeah. It's nice.
Well, that's awesome. I feel like you're doing what you want to do, which is nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So we ask everybody, like, when you were doing TikTok stuff and like really doing that, did you have a villain or somebody who was like your nemesis in that time?
I did. Or like in real life? Or in the character world, because I did have a.
Oh my gosh!
Because I had a lot of characters.
you had a character that was your nemesis.
Yeah, Susie. Oh, yeah, she was a bitch. Oh my god, she always got into quarrel with Mama Penny and Philip and all that shit. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But are we asking real life though?
I'm down to hear from Susie as well. But
like... Susie's, she was just a Karen. Like she just like, I don't know. She just. She was just a bitch and caused chaos in the videos. But if I were to like say in real life, like I did have my best friend, my childhood best friend, who got me started on social media. Back in the day, we like had each other's like access to our accounts because we would like, you know, we were kids and we were like, oh, like we'll manage each other's accounts and like follow for follow, like, you know, like reach out to people like trying to like get followers, you know, like just literally teenagers. But because she had access to my account, once I started to do well, she like deleted everything. And I thought I got hacked. And I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do?
Is this the other homeschooled girl?
Yeah. 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 Gloriana.
She was at school. She'd probably have more to do.
Dead ass. Dead ass. That bitch was bored out of her mind. Yeah. So she was like, let me just fuck over Josh. And like, it's like literally like my best friend. So like
that feels, you know, horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't take space in my head. I mean, 25 was like, this is so long ago. But like at the time, that was like the biggest thing because she did it twice. And then I saw her for the first time in like 2 years. And I asked her because I had a gut feeling because it was very sus. Mm-hmm. You know, like very sus. And I was like, just curious, like, I wouldn't be mad, but, like, did you, like...
That's how I talk to my daughter, too. I'm like, I'm not going to be mad if you tell me the truth, but...
And then you're, like, pissed. And I was like, I promise. And then she was like, yeah, I did. And she, like, didn't even apologize. And I was like... So a part of me after that, like, made it a point to prove her fucking wrong.
I love how Gen Z people talk to each other, too. They're like, yeah, I did. And then they'll just stare at you.
They're like, oops, my bad.
So what are you going to do? Do you want to start talking now?
She's like, are we like cool? Like, are we going to like slay the house down and like be chill? I'm like, fuck you.
I literally have to look up everything you said in this episode.
Oh my God, there's
every
so
section
much.
Of this episode.
You do a little snippet of like all the like little like verbiage. Just like
you're
gonna
slay the house down.
You haven't heard that one?
No, but I love it. I'm gonna start saying it.
You have
it.
To teach your kids. They're definitely gonna learn it at some point. Either way.
Penelope probably already knows that one.
Yeah, I'm sure my daughter knows it. There a time when you had like your biggest breakdown, like meltdown moment in your TikTok, like maybe in the creator house.
Actually, yeah. Low-key, I like totally for. So I, oh my God, like it's actually really bad. So my like friend of 7 years, Garrison, he's like from the same hometown and he's a director and he's like helping me with all my like music stuff. He worked for me full time at the creator house and we were shooting a reality show. So I also was like, let me spend the money. Cause like in my head, people were gonna, and we never put, nothing was put out. So all of this is in a vault on hard drives, like never gonna see the light of day. But during that time, there were like issues in the house. And at the same time, I was struggling with my relationship with my parents. And then it was like, basically it was the day that I decided to stop doing the house. And then everybody moved out and we all went back to LA. And mind you, I still have a great relationship with everybody. I didn't technically do anything wrong. It was just very, there was just a lot of conflicts of interest and people were wanting like equity in things. And it was like just really weird time. Just a bunch of like young adults trying to do business. If I was like a mean manager that was like, you know, 45 and had a bunch of money, like, and had some control, I was just, you know, it was too nice.
Yeah.
You know? I fucking like lost my shit and like I was like, it's actually the most embarrassing thing, like sobbing, like Kardashian crying, like on the like, and I had like, our house was so big, I had like a living room in my bedroom and like I had like a therapy chair, and anytime I had like I was crying or sad, like Garrison would be like, okay, we're gonna go shoot on the therapy chair. And there's just like 20 minutes of me just like literally bawling and like freaking out, which is like feels good now because I'm like, oh my God, like even thinking about it, I'm like, I was so lost. Mm-hmm. I'm still like a bit lost, but like I was like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I still have my little breakdowns, but instead I like order Uber Eats and like get an Erewhon smoothie and like watch like Handmaid's Tale on the couch and just like dissociate. But like at the time I had so much going on. It was like so like freaky. So I would just say like that was like.
And you have it on video somewhere in a vault? It's
on video. Yeah. I honestly feel
like these videos from, this is my pitch to you. I think your videos from the Creator House would be a great way to promote your music.
Low key. you just have to
clip them up and like then use them as promo for your music.
I should. Like literally where I'm like sobbing and then it just like cuts to me being like, be still. And it's like the whole song starts playing. It's like, what the fuck am I watching right now?
I feel like people would be into it.
I'm gonna make an edit. I swear.
Also, like a vaulted reality show from like forever ago is funny too. I feel like just bringing it out.
Who, like, honestly, the reason I still even have the hard drives, well, one, because we shot so much, but I'm like, in the perfect world, if someone wants to do a documentary on the whole culture of like failed reality houses, like content houses from like 2020, I've got so much footage. Like, it might be worth a penny in a couple years. I don't know. But
I love it.
I have it. It's great. Sitting in the drawer. Use it. We'll see.
Can we promo this episode with a clip from it?
Yeah, it's just me sobbing. Josh Sadowski emotionally
breaks down on this episode of Full Out.
So that's what the name of the podcast is?
Yeah, Full Out.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you're doing this, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah.
Like genuinely, like every time I see you doing, like when you do stand up or in passing, like you always just have such a energy and radiance of joy and enthusiasm and encouragement. And like,
well, you haven't seen my vaulted reality clips either, so you've just seen my forward facing stuff.
We'll do a deal. You'll make one edit and then I'll do one.
Okay, great. If you have them. I'm not of the generation that films ourselves crying, so I feel like everybody. I'm too old for that.
No, I actually hate on. Not to be a bitch, but like technically I wasn't filming myself, but I like literally was just talking.
I know you weren't filming yourself.
I wasn't. I paid a lot of money to have someone else film me doing it, but yeah.
No, because you had money at the time. If you didn't have money, you probably would have been filming yourself crying.
Oh my God, maybe. Maybe if I really wanted attention, my homeschooler self back in the day.
Well, I feel like you've done well for yourself. You got out of a prepper community. You don't even know what the next end of the world date is.
That feels really
good.
That's
a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Don't worry. I'll start looking them up and texting them to you. Because
and then we're going to go. And then I'm low-key. You're going to reconvince me.
Oh, my God. And then you and my daughter are going to move back to Branson, Missouri together.
We'll start a new ministry, Full Out for Christ.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's the title of this episode, Full Out for Christ. My mom's going to be like, ooh, I'll listen to that one. That's the only one my mom will listen to. No, I'm kidding. She'll listen to all of them, but she'll like this one the most.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you
this
for having
so
me.
Nice to finally get to talk to you.
Where can we find you?
Oh, yeah. So on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, Josh Sadowski. Oh, wait. You know what I can say now because I have music out? You can find me on Spotify and Apple Music.
Josh Sadowski.
And first single just came out last week.
Okay.
And then the EP is going to come out in September. So
September what? You know?
Do not have a date.
Okay, 15th, well, ask your dad what he thinks it should be. Okay.
Okay. I just have to make sure it comes out before the world ends. I literally had a dream about that the other day where, like, I was running away from, like, a massive flood. And then in the dream, I was like, I didn't even get to put out my music. And so, like,
okay, we'll get it out before the end of the world.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you, Brittany.